Good morning. Just a reminder to everyone that next Sunday the youth group is having a pancake fundraiser. It's going to happen in between the two services downstairs. So they're starting to ramp up their gatherings for the youth gathering. So if you're able to help out with that, that would be greatly appreciated. Again, that'll be between services next Sunday. Also, as we're planning to start our Sunday school here in September, we're still in need of a few teachers. We especially need one to help with the preschool to kindergarten group, and then also another teacher to help with the first through third grade group. So if you're able to help out with that, please let me know or Susie Bishop so we can assist with those plans. We also could take additional teachers for the other groups too as well. So if you're interested in teaching in maybe some of the other groups, just feel free to let me know. The Old Testament reading for this, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the 16th chapter of Exodus. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" But they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is from the 4th chapter of Ephesians. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, till we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature
of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, and each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place, where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible uses different words to describe eating. The Bible uses one word to describe how people eat, and another word to describe how animals eat. So when you eat your food, you may use a knife and fork. You cut your food into pieces, and your fork guides that food into your mouth. You don't eat like a pig by just shoving your face down into your plate on the table. When you eat your food, you usually take the time to chew your food so you don't choke on it. We don't eat like dogs by plowing our face into a bowl and inhaling our food as quickly as we can. After the feeding of the 5,000, the people followed Jesus looking for more bread. And Jesus spoke to them about how they ate that bread. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves of bread." Now, when Jesus said they ate their fill, he used that special word to describe how animals eat. He basically said they ate that bread like just a bunch of animals. So does this mean Jesus was criticizing how the 5,000 ate their bread? Was Jesus saying they should have used a knife to slice their bread, put it on a plate, and gently spread a pat of butter on their bread before gingerly picking it up and eating it? No. Everyone would have just picked up the bread, torn off a piece, and eaten it just like we do. Nothing wrong with that. But still, Jesus said they ate no better than animals. He's saying they gobbled down the bread from the feeding of the 5,000 like unbelieving animals. They devoured the bread without thinking for a moment about who was giving them this bread. Those people followed after Jesus because they just wanted to fill their bellies. Good thing we don't do this, right? Those people only came after Jesus because they wanted to see what Jesus would give to them. It's a good thing we never treat Jesus like that, do we? Those people prayed for Jesus to give them exactly what they wanted for their life, and they knew what they wanted. They knew what they needed. So they told him, "Give us the bread." Good thing we never act with God in such a bossy way, do we? But we will pray sometimes. We'll pray, "Jesus, please fill my belly with healing. Give me what I want." That's what we'll pray. There's nothing wrong with praying for that healing. Sometimes it comes, other times it does not. A lot of times we don't get what we want, what we pray for. Sometimes we're like hungry dogs looking at an empty bowl. So we pray to Jesus and say, "God, I want you to fill up my bowl. But just in case you are clueless about what my bowl should be filled with, here's what I want." And we list off those items we think we need, what we want, and how we think our life should look. I know I do this. Sometimes, even as a pastor, I think I know what my life should look like. Sometimes I think I know spiritually what my bowl should be filled with, and frankly, what should also be left out of my bowl. I'm not much better than a dog sometimes, growling to my master what my life should look like, and even more importantly, trying to dictate to my master what my life should not look like and not have in it. Now, I'm not going to call any of you a dog growling to God over your bowl. I'll call myself that. But I think it can be very easy for all of us sometimes to tell God what we want in our bowl, and especially to dictate to God what we don't want and what we should not have in our bowl. The 5,000 followed Jesus after they gobbled up all their bread. It must have been fantastic to eat bread that had been multiplied for thousands of people from just 2 loaves of bread. Very impressive. But so many of those people just gobbled down that bread like unthinking, unbelieving animals. They gobbled it down without faith in the one who gave it to them. They gave no thought to the giver of the bread. They were just concerned about the bread itself. They didn't look at Jesus as God in the flesh. They looked at Jesus like he was some kind of vending machine that was broken and just spewing out a lot of free food. We can all fall into that same trap sometimes of looking at Jesus the same way. That's why Jesus told the 5,000 and tells us also that there is a much greater bread God has in mind for all of us. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger." Those men, women, and children who followed after Jesus had an idea of what they wanted. They wanted their bowls filled with earthly bread. That's all they wanted. And Jesus was going to fill their bowls with bread. But the bread Jesus was going to give was so much greater than anything they could have ever asked for. And that's the whole point. Jesus was going to fill them with something much greater than they could have ever expected. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, broke it, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given into death for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins." What is the greatest bread, the greatest filling that Jesus could give? It wasn't just some loaf of bread from a store. Anyone with a few bucks can buy that for themselves. But Jesus was preparing to give a bread to the world that no human could buy. Jesus was going to give us a bread that we could never gain for ourselves. Through Jesus' death on the cross, he was going to fill us with the greatest of breads, eternal forgiveness with our Heavenly Father. None of us could buy that ourselves. Only Jesus could buy it, and he bought it for all of us with his sacrifice on the cross. I know we all have things we ask of God. We all have hurts in our bodies and pains in our souls that we want God to remove or heal or take away from us. Sometimes we may even try to tell God what he should fill our bowls and plates with. But don't you think God knows what is best for you? Don't you think your merciful, heavenly, loving Father will always give you what you need? He won't always give you what you want, but he will give you what you need every single time. Every single one of our prayers have been answered for us in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and in his resurrection from the dead. Through that bread he gives to us, we have forgiveness of our sins before God the Father. All of them. Forgiveness for all of them. And through Jesus' resurrection, you have the promise that all diseases will not end in death forever. Because of what Jesus has done in his resurrection from the grave, Jesus has filled up your bowl so that even death itself cannot leave you empty. Thanks to the resurrection of Christ, you will see the death of death itself. You will rise from the dead. We may feel empty sometimes, but nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is your resurrection. Your bowl is overflowing with God's grace. Your plate is heaping with life. It doesn't matter what we face in this world or how empty we may feel our bowls are sometimes. Jesus Christ, the bread of life, has given you exactly what you need. A lot of it. You may not feel all the time that you have what you want, but through Christ, God has and always will give you exactly what you need. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.